Welcome to One Theme at a Time, a one theme only podcast of the Western Kentucky University of Modern Languages podcast series. Today is January 23rd, 2006, and this is episode one. I am Melissa Stewart, professor of Spanish in the Department of Modern Languages, and I will be your host today in this first episode of One Theme at a Time. I've been a faculty member in the department for a number of years, and I teach all levels of Spanish, as well as literature, civilization and culture, and other special topics courses. And I'm very happy to be with you here today. As part of the WKU Modern Languages podcast series, we hope you will enjoy our episodes in which we'll present just one theme related to world languages. Every 2 weeks, we'll present a new episode of One Theme at a Time with guest speakers who will talk in English about a variety of topics of general interest that are also related to the different cultures we teach about. Every episode of One Theme at a Time will be archived in the WKU Modern Language Podcast Series website at www.wku.edu/modernlanguages/podcast-series/, all with lowercase. In our website, together with the RSS feed of One Theme at a Time, we will also include a copy of each episode as an MP3 file. Please visit our website to learn more about the WKU World Languages Podcaster with episodes in other languages, which is also part of our series. In Christmas in January, this first episode of One Theme at a Time, we will hear about international holiday celebrations. We're all coming back to school to start the spring semester, and one constant question is, how was your holiday break? It's a little later this year with our new calendar, but still, we're catching up with people now and thinking back, remembering our own celebrations. Back in December, the team of One Theme at a Time was invited to an international Christmas party hosted by Dr. Linda Pickle, the head of the Department of Modern Languages, and we took the opportunity to talk to several professors about celebrating the holidays in different countries. After talking to these folks who were familiar with holidays in Germany, France, Japan, Mexico, Russia, Colombia, and Spain, we discovered that while there are many similarities in the way each country celebrates the holidays and the ways we celebrate them here in the States, there are interesting differences as well. Professor Joe Ertl talked to us about the major holiday in Japan, the New Year, and he told us about how Japanese families prepare for the celebrations and they get ready to start a new year.
Since Japan is not a Christian country, the people really do not celebrate Christmas at all. On Christmas Eve, perhaps, on the news, they will show a Christian church, and that's about the extent of it. The major holiday in Japan is the New Year's, which usually begins on New Year's Eve day, where they have something called Osoji, which means the big cleaning, where everybody in the family will clean the house from top to bottom. They'll wash their car, they'll get new underwear, everything clean and sparkling new for the new year. Then on New Year's Eve, the family will get together and have a very, very big meal with much eating and drinking. And each area of Japan has its own particular food and customs. Then in the evening, later in the evening, maybe 11, 11:30, the people will begin going to the Shinto shrines and the Buddhist temples. Now, in each home, there is a small Shinto shrine in one of the rooms, and hanging in front of that shrine will be a small straw rope called a shimenawa that they will take on New Year's Eve to the Shinto shrine and burn it and get a new one for the new year. Also, they will go to the Buddhist temples and take turns ringing the bells. Now, when I say ringing the bells, our bells have clappers on the inside. Their bells are very huge bells with large logs that you swing back and forth on the outside and then hit against the outside of the bell. And then you wait until the reverberation completely disappears until they will ring it again. They do this 108 times. According to the Buddhist religion, each man or each human being has 108 deadly sins. So this reverberation that they hear will purify their heart so that they can begin the new year with no sin. Okay? Also, around midnight or a little bit after, most people will eat something called toshi koshi soba. Toshi means year, koshi means to pass over, and soba are buckwheat noodles. Now, these noodles are very, very, very long, okay? And they believe that if they eat these, that they will be healthy and have long life for the new year. It ensures their long life, okay? Now, New Year's Day, children will receive gifts from relatives and friends and, of course, from their parents, and it's called otoshidama, which simply means a monetary gift, okay? And then on the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of January, people will dress up in their traditional clothes and go to visit their friends to give them their New Year greeting. Remember, the Japanese are very, very formal. Therefore, at the beginning of the new year, it's absolutely imperative that you go to your boss's house and ask him to again take care of you during the new year. Okay? And of course, everywhere you go, you drink sake and eat food. So, I mean, most people are very happy for the entire time period.
As in Japan, in Russia, the big holiday is also New Year's. Professor Charlie Pickle told us also about the equivalent figure for Santa Claus in Russia.
The thing is that in what is now Russia, of course, was the Soviet Union for so long, and Christmas was discouraged as a religious holiday, certainly. So the big holiday was New Year's, and they had the trees and all the gift giving and everything like that was in New Year's. The people who were churchgoers and believers had, you know, would certainly do some things on their own. And now I have to say I'm really not altogether sure what has happened since the late 90s. I mean, clearly they're going back to the religious holidays. But as far as what they do with Santa Claus, they had a father, not Father Christmas, but a Jet Maros, Father Frost, Grandfather Frost, really, was very much the same kind of character, a little more. What, menacing to a certain extent, and I gather that's true in other European cultures, that Santa Claus wasn't always the benevolent saint that he's become here. But Jet Moroz was, you know, it was somebody who brought presents, but also saw to it that the kids behaved. And that was that I don't think they even did that during the Soviet era, although they may not have been able to get rid of it entirely. But the big holiday officially was New Year's, and everybody would greet the holiday. Their equivalent of Happy Holidays was Snowden Gordon, which is with congratulate you on the New Year. But they had New Year's trees, and they had gifts and all that sort of stuff.
Well, French people also exchange presents on Christmas. They do it on a different day. Let's hear Dr. Karine Egloff explaining about this difference.
For French people, the 24th is more important than the 25th. You have a big dinner in the evening, and then some people go to midnight mass. And when you come back from church, you open your presents. And then on the 25th, you spend the whole day playing with your presents.
Okay, so the French get their presents a day earlier than us, or many of us, on the 24th instead of the 25th. But they also have a different way to prepare for the arrival of Papa Noel. Professor Eddie Cuisinet explained to us how they prepare for presents and also what happens to naughty French kids.
In France, we have Le Père Noël, or Santa Claus here, and he brings us presents. And usually we put our shoes, not stockings, under the Christmas tree, and hopefully will bring us presents, not oranges. That's what bad kids get. Or a visit from Le Père Fouettard, which is someone who has a whip and would whip you if you're a bad kid. So that's pretty much how it is about presents.
How about that? I'm sure the whipping part makes a lot of kids behave in France better than in the States. Germans also have trees in their houses for decoration, but they decorate them in a different way. Professor Laura McGee told us about trees in Germany and also about the arrival of presents.
Germans traditionally have a Christmas tree with real candles on it. Which means it probably only gets lit once when everybody's in the room. Germans who are Catholic go to Mass on the 24th in the evening. And when they come home, the parents say, "Look, the Christ child was here and brought gifts for the children." And they're gifts for the children then. And for Protestant families, it's the Weihnachtsmann who brought the gifts, sort of like the Christmas man. On the 6th of December, rather on the night of the 5th, children have put out their shoes in front of the door, and on the morning of the 6th, they wake up, and St. Nicholas has been there to visit the good children and brought little gifts and maybe fruit and nuts. And the bad children have been visited by, it's called Krampus or Knecht Ruprecht, and maybe he has brought switches or lumps of coal for the bad children.
Professor Linda Pickel also spoke to us about the importance of the forest for Germans and how this is imported into their Christmas celebration.
In Germany, there are no Christmas decorations in the house until Christmas Eve. That's when they bring the tree in, they decorate the tree, they put real candles on the tree, and they light them and sing Christmas carols, and they have their Christmas goodies, and they usually bake cookies that they hang on the tree. And if there are little children in the house, that's when St. Nicholas comes. And St. Nicholas really comes to the house, and he knows if they've been good or bad children. And so they get to talk with St. Nicholas, and usually he has gifts for them. And in the night, then, after the children have gone to sleep, is when the Christ child comes. And it's the Christ child that brings most of the gifts for German children. And they're there the next morning under this tree. Of course, they put out the candles in the meantime. You have to be very careful about these candles. But anyway, I don't know if Germans have artificial trees yet. They have a very special relationship to their forests. They think that their forests are the most beautiful in the world, that their people came out of the forests, conquered the Romans from the forests, and they very much believe in having a real Christmas tree that you bring in only on Christmas Eve, and you leave it up until, I think, the 6th of January in most houses, and that's when the Three Kings Day is, and on Three Kings Day, I think the kids also get little gifts, and that's when you take the tree down. So it's really a 12 days of, no, that's not right. Yeah, a 12 days of Christmas celebration in a true German household. But for children, Christmas really starts 24 days before Christmas because they have this little Advent calendar, and every day they open a little window and get either a piece of chocolate or they see a little picture about Christmas. And on the 6th of December is St. Nicholas Day, and that's another day when St. Nicholas can come to your house and they can also get little gifts.
And now we're going to move across the ocean to the other side of the Atlantic in Colombia. While Christmas celebrations go on pretty much during the same time as in the States there, Professor Gustavo Obeso told us how the celebration of December 7th is more important for them than the actual Christmas celebration.
Well, talking about Colombia, basically with the city that I'm from, Colombia, it's called Barranquilla, and we have a special celebration. It's on December the 8th. It's a holiday, but I really can't remember what the holiday is about. I think it's Immaculada's Day or something like that, but I'm not sure. Anyway, the 7th, everybody wants to get married that day, or at least even universities, high school, they prepare their schedule. So on September the 7th, it's graduation time. And so people who want to get married, they will do it on September the 7th. Schools, universities, they have their graduation day the same day. If you are a 15-year-old, you want to, even if you're from November, you'll wait and celebrate your 15-year-old party on September the 7th. That's a day where the whole city, it's a 2 million people city, you'll have, I mean, if you don't have a party that day, you really don't know anybody, because we have parties all over the city. I remember my street, like 50 houses, and in 15 of those, they have different parties because somebody was getting married, or because they had somebody from high school, or whatever, you know. But it's a really nice thing that people will go to those parties at, let's say, 11 p.m. more or less until 3 a.m. from the 8th, and then they'll go back home and they will take up some like lanterns, and they will put a lid on it, or they will just turn it on, and at the same time, like 3 a.m., 4 a.m., so the whole city, or almost everybody, will have their houses with those lanterns in front of the house, all over, you know, the city, especially the south part of the city, and that's the main thing that I would say is different, because Christmas or December 25th or January the 1st, well, it's a huge party, but December the 7th, I'm sorry, it's the day that everybody will wait, especially in my city again, Barranquilla. It's different from some other cities from Colombia, so I'm just giving you my experience about the city.
Everybody knows about the celebration of the Day of the Dead, or Día de los Muertos in Mexico, but maybe not so much about the celebration of Las Posadas in December. Let's listen to Professor Susan Davis telling us about this Mexican holiday.
In Mexico, one of the Christmas traditions is the celebration of Las Posadas. Las Posadas, first the word means the inns, and it is a nine-night celebration. Traditionally, it's for children, and it is the reenactment of Joseph and Mary looking for a place to stay. Traditionally, this is done through song, and sometimes the party will have already started, and half of the group will go outside. Sometimes the children even have a burro for Mary to ride. And it's a fairly long song, with the people inside of the house at first refusing entrance. And then in the end, of course, Mary and Joseph are allowed in, and they are greeted through song. And the children traditionally have piñatas to break that could be filled with candy or tangerines or other fruits and nuts. And the piñata is in the star, in the shape of a star. And this goes on for 9 nights, and the parents are also involved. And it's a good family event for 9 nights before Christmas.
And finally, I was also interviewed by the team of One Theme at a Time and had the opportunity to describe the celebration of the Reyes Magos, or the Three Wise Men, in Spain, quite different from our Santa Claus.
Many Spaniards go to Mass, midnight Mass on the 24th of December, and they all get together with their families and have a big dinner on December 24th. That even means young people, you know, they don't go out with their friends, they're home with their families, and then they go to Mass. And now we're going to jump to the Three Kings, which is considerably later. So the gifts are given the night of January 5th. Spanish children put out their shoes, and they're looking for the Three Kings to come and, you know, fill their shoes and leave the gifts. So instead of leaving, you know, cookies and milk for Santa, they leave champagne and some kind of interesting fish dish for the Three Kings. And so on January 6th, you wake up and find out what you've been left.
So we see that the way people celebrate may be different, but the holidays are a time for all of us to come together with family and friends, often sharing special traditions and enjoying each other's company. Well, we have reached the end of Christmas in January, the first episode of One Theme at a Time, a One Theme only podcast of the WKU Modern Languages podcast series. Thanks to everyone for tuning in. We hope you have enjoyed this podcast. Our next episode will be posted on February 6th. Make sure you visit our website for information on other podcasts that are part of the WKU Modern Languages podcast series at www.wku.edu/modernlanguages/podcast-series/all-with-lowercase. Please feel free to write to us with your comments on this podcast or your requests for future themes for One Theme at a Time. Our email address is modern.languages@wku.edu. And please, on the subject of your message, indicate for One Theme at a Time podcast. This podcast has been produced by Immaculada Pertusa and hosted by Melissa Stewart. January 2006, all rights reserved, Department of Modern Languages at Western Kentucky University.